Getting close to the end. Getting close to the end. Just a couple of chapters to go. Listen to you. It didn't work out well, and you wanted to say, "I told you so." You ever had anybody tell you, "I told you so"? Yeah, my dad probably said that at least a couple of thousand times to me when I was young. "I told you so." There's one of those in the Bible. If you look at... Paul in Acts chapter 27, they're on a journey. And he says in verse 21, he says, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me." Because they're about to lose their ship. Their ship's about to be destroyed because they didn't listen to the man of God. He gave them, or was willing to give them, and he did give them good counsel back earlier, back up in chapter 27 and verse 10. He says, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." And then there's this dreadful word in verse 11. "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." There are 3 million, by estimate, shipwrecks in the oceans. 3 million. Now you think about it. Every one of those ships, I know that there are a few, they take them out there and they sink them on purpose, but with those rare exceptions, every one of those ships left a port with a destination in mind, probably had cargo on board, certainly had some people on board. The value of the ship itself is included in this, not to mention the time and the fuel and all the preparation that went into the voyage. And 3 million minus a few times, the ship didn't make it. We were out down in Key West many, many years ago, and there were in Key West some very rich men that lived there back in the late 1800s especially, and they made a living. They were called wreckers. And what would happen there is one of the ships that was traveling in the vicinity of Key West would hit a reef. And there was a standing agreement. If you were a wrecker and you went out to a ship that was sinking or that was stranded on the reef and you took the cargo off, you got to keep half of it. And these fellows were quite wealthy, just waiting for the next shipwreck. It's because shipwrecks are expensive, and shipwrecks are sometimes, in many cases, they cause loss of life. Now, there's a picture here, and I don't want you to miss it before we look at the passage. There are people that have life wrecks. Think of a ship. It's got a purpose. It's got a plan. They have expectations, high hopes of getting from here to there and succeeding and delivering their cargo and being rewarded financially and quite handsomely, and they never get there. And there are people that look at life and they say, "Well, here's what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to do this and I'm going to go there and I'm going to be that." And they ignore what God said and their life winds up in a wreck. Not necessarily to cause them to be deceased, but certainly their plan is destroyed. We see marriages that end. We see people that lose their children. Not to death, but to wickedness. I guess use that term for the time being. We see situations to where folks, instead of having God as their God, they've got some other thing they're trusting in, and it fails them, and their life becomes a wreck. And you've heard that said, someone's life is a wreck. So let's look at this shipwreck tonight just a little bit here. We'll spend about half an hour, and there's a whole lot to see here, but it's a really exciting chapter. We'll begin in chapter 27 and verse 1. I'm not going to read and pray. I'll just kind of jump through it as we go along. You know, let's just look at what leads to this shipwreck. And first of all, there's a decision that is made. It's not a bad decision. And in fact, they're off to a fair start and things look pretty good. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, "When it was determined that we should sail into Italy, They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adraminium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day, we touched at Sidon. That's, if you're traveling from Israel, that's just on the coast, heading north. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there a centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now, it's just they're off to a journey, and it's late in the season to be sailing, but they're doing quite fine. And I even like it there when they come to one place and they let Paul go visit with his friends, and that's just the grace of God that he was allowed to do that. But so far, so good, you might say. Everything looks pretty good. God's got a plan here. He's going to show some people that they should have listened to the man of God. They're going to lose some things along the way. But what's interesting in all this is, I can just tell you now, and you're not worried about this because you know the rest of the story, there's going to be a shipwreck, but Paul's going to be just fine. God's going to take care of him. In fact, later on, he tells some folks a story about being shipwrecked. And in fact, it's interesting enough that nobody dies in this shipwreck. It's just going to be the loss of the ship and the tackle and the cargo and so on. So a decision was made. They're off to a fair start. Now is when it starts to get interesting. Look at verse 9. When much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, it's a time when you're not supposed to be out. This is a stormy time of the year because the fast was now already past. Listen to this. Paul admonished them. Admonished them. Just stop right there for a minute. Now, Paul's not a sailor, but God knows the seas. And Paul knows enough, I suppose, to be aware of the fact this is not a good idea to be sailing this time of year. But I'm more interested in the kind of the picture here. And just come out and say it. When you have a situation in your life you're unsure about, have you ever asked God for help? I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know what's wrong with my vehicle. I'm not sure how to pay for this. I'm not sure how to provide for that. I'm not sure whether I should do this. I'm not sure how to solve this problem. Lord, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And you ask the Lord for help, and folks, the Lord will help. Now watch this. Sometimes the Lord helps by sending someone to tell you what you need to know. I'm a pastor, and that's my job, is to help folks understand what God might have. I cannot always tell you God's perfect will for your life, but sometimes I can. I cannot always tell you what to do, what not to do, but sometimes I can, because when you come to me with a situation and the Bible is clear on that situation, I can tell you what the Bible has to say. You may know already. You understand the reason a lot of folks don't go to the pastor to ask him about it? They already know what he's going to say. So they just don't bother going to him. They just make their own decision. But these folks here, Paul was willing to help. He was willing to tell them, look, this is not a good idea. And so he says in verse 10, sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. And he says in verse 11, the Bible says, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than the things that were spoken by Paul. Just warn you of a couple of things. Be careful where you get your counsel. Let me say it differently to make sure you understand. Be careful who you go to and who you don't go to for advice. And I'll just warn you, when you walk into the average Christian bookstore, I'm sorry to report, most of the stuff in there is dangerous rather than helpful. And when you go to the world and its psychology and its methods and its self-help books and so on, about 99% of it's not going to be good for you. But folks, And I'm not speaking hypothetically here. I'm speaking very practically. We have a God that can take care of us and guide us. That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If I had time, I would take testimonies tonight and I would ask, who of you perhaps had a situation where you had to make a decision and you went to the Lord and the Lord gave you the right decision? Amen? Well, I can tell you one decision you had to make. You had to decide whether or not to get saved, and you did the right thing when you asked Christ to save you. There's some obvious things in the Bible that we ought to just understand and do. Use your life for God. Be faithful to church. Walk with the Lord. Stay in fellowship with Him. Stay away from sin. but there are details in our life. And again, I just won't take the time. I could tell personal stories. You could too. But there are times in our life when we don't know what to do. God knows. I was telling Mr. Sanchez about my friend George. I told you about him probably, that was a mechanic. And he'd tell me, Pastor, I don't know what's wrong with your car, but God does. God knows what's wrong with your car, and he'll tell me. Man, that guy could fix cars. And wouldn't it be great if in your life you just said, you know, I don't know, Lord, help me. Amen? A lot of the time we decide, oh, yeah. You know, if you think about what's happening here, it's pretty obvious. The centurion wants to get to Italy. He wants to get Paul to Italy. He's got a job to do, and he'd probably be happy to get that done with and go back to wherever he came from or whatever. The guy that owns the ship wants to get there and make some money. The fellow that runs the ship, he's in the same boat. He gets paid for getting there. They've all got prejudices and biases. They want certain things. And so when the man of God says, don't do it that way, well, who's he? But there have been times in my life when I have said to people, don't do it that way. And they had their prejudices and they had their desires and they had their preferences and they had their agenda. And they said, who's he? And I've seen it end very, very, very poorly over and over again. And all I'm going to tell you if you come to me is say, here's what the Bible has to say. I might add any wisdom God's given me along the way in my life, but primarily, I'm going to tell you what God had to say. Folks, it's really a bad idea not to do things the way God says to do them. And you're going to see what happens. That if you didn't get anything else out of the message with the evening, just remember that one thing. If you want to avoid a wreck in your life, do it God's way. Listen to what He has to say. And don't be your own expert. Let God be the one that changes your course. And it's astounding. If you think about it, and every now and then I'll sit down and I'll think, how did I get here? I started out in this place and I moved there and I met my wife and I moved there and how did you get here? It's astounding. But folks, God will direct your path. Amen? So they should have listened. Determined preemptions or precepts were warnings were ignored. And so they're going to go on anyway. And so then, what do you think is going to happen? We had a determined ignorance of the warning, and now there's a disaster. And here it comes in verse 12. The haven was not commodious to winter in. You know what that means? They didn't like the motels there. It wasn't comfortable enough. It didn't have something that they didn't want to have to stay there and wait until the spring when it was safe to travel. This place is not big enough. There's not enough to do here. We're going to be stuck in this little tiny place all winter. What a bad idea. Let's keep going. Folks, if God puts you somewhere, stay there till He moves you. And then when God moves you, go there and stay there till He moves you. And you might say, well, Pastor, this place is not that exciting. This is not that entertaining. It doesn't seem that profitable. It's just really not a very great place to spend the winter. Well, you got your choice. You can do it God's way or you can have a shipwreck. No, they said, this is not the place for us. We want to move on. This is not comfortable enough. And so in verse 12, there's another interesting precept here. He said, the more part, we'll talk about that in a second, advised to depart thence also. You know what that is? Popular opinion. Well, everybody got together and they decided that here's the way we're going to do it. You know what? If God says don't do it, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. Don't do it. You see what's happened. Paul said, this is a bad idea. And I'm paraphrasing, but anyway, you get the drift. And the fellows say, no, this place is not comfortable. We'll be all right. Let's keep going. And they're not going to be all right. In fact, they're going to come to the point of where they will wish with all their might they'd have listened to Paul and stayed where they were. But they wouldn't listen to the man of God. They didn't consider the real danger. They hoped for the best. They didn't like these surroundings. They wanted more comfortable surroundings than these. They wanted better circumstances. They didn't like the ones they were in. And so at the end of verse 12, it says, the more part advice to depart thence also, if by any means, you might say it this way, well, they're hoping that there's a way they might attain to Phoenicia. And there to winter, that's a good place to be, which is a haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. Let's find a better place. Folks, the best place to be is where God puts you. Amen? And it's a good place. We'll say, I think there's a better place. Have you ever heard that saying, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence? You know what's interesting, though? If you think about that saying, once you get on the other side of the fence, the grass is greener over there. And you can keep going back and forth across the fence all you want. How about just letting God pick which side of the fence you stay on? Amen? And go where He says to go. You're gonna step into eternity sooner than you think. Our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanishes away. And you don't know the things God knows, all the different situations out there and all the different things that you could have, places you could be and things you could be doing. And you say, well, why am I here? I hope the answer to that is because God put me here. Is this a good place? Yes, it is. God put me here. Am I going to stay here? Yes, I am, until God says move. And this precept, this principle of doing that is foreign to these fellows. They're looking for comfort. They're looking at popular opinion. They're thinking, maybe we'll make it. Let's not worry about what the man of God says. Here we go. Well, now there are going to be some consequences. So in verse 13, it's interesting how it says this. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And they're all thinking, hey, this is working out pretty good. It's a nice south wind. This is not a problem. But, verse 14, not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. This is so bad, they got a name for it. You say, how windy was it? It's the Euroclydon. It's the bad one. You messed up. You should have stayed where you were. Now it's too late. You think, and folks, we trust God, okay? And when you make an honest mistake, I believe with all my heart, God will take care of you. But when you ignore God's counsel and do what you want to do, knowing that's not what He wanted, you better be careful. You may find yourself in Euroclydon, where now it's too late to do anything about it. And here you are on the ship, and the wind's blowing you the wrong direction, and you can't go back. And there are decisions that we make in life. I hope Carlos teaches our young people there are decisions they make in life that they can't go back. They can ruin their life if they're not careful. And so here we go. They have said, no, we're not going to listen to this man. We want to be someplace better. We've all talked about it. It's a good idea to us. Well, it's not a good idea anymore. Verse 15. So the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind. We let her drive. You know what they're doing now? They're just going wherever the wind takes them. They're out of control. You've seen this. You've seen people that they had a chance to listen to God and to listen to godly counsel and to do what was right. And they said, no, that's not what we want. That's not as comfortable as I want to be. That's not where I want to be. I'm going to do it my way. And the next thing you know, their life is out of control and they can't do a thing about it. We were in, used to live in South Texas, and we got out in the Gulf one time in a boat. And I've told you this story before of how high the waves got and everything. But I can remember one thing. I remember thinking, I wish I'd have stayed inshore and not gotten on this boat. And praise the Lord, nobody got hurt that day and the boat got back safely. But I just want to tell you, sometimes in your life, you may say, I wished I wouldn't have. I wished I would have. And if you did what you did because you were following God's will, trying to please God, trying to serve God, you don't need to say, I wished I did or I wished I didn't. What you can say is, I just have to trust the Lord. He put me here. But listen, God didn't put them here. They put them here. And they put themselves in this trouble. And it's not, they're not going to get out of it free, but God is going to save them from death. So they let her drive. In other words, they're out of control. They can't do a thing about it. They could have listened, and they wouldn't have been in this situation, but now it's too late, and they don't know where it's going to end. They just know we got to go this direction because the wind is so strong we can't go anywhere else. Verse 16, running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. You know, there's nothing wrong with work, but isn't it frustrating when you're working to survive and you know you shouldn't have got yourself in that situation to begin with? And that's just what's happening here. They're having to toil just because of their foolishness in rejecting that counsel that they got. So verse 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. They strake sail, and so were driven. There's that word again, like in verse 15. We were exceedingly tossed with the tempest. The next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. You know what that is? They're giving up. That we, even though these are things that we need in order to operate the ship properly, we know we're in such danger, we're going to throw them away. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And there is a good ending, if you will. But you can see they're thinking over and over, why did we do this? Verse 20, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. Wow, there's another picture. Darkness. Storms. They didn't see the sun in the daytime. They didn't see the moon at night. Oh, by the way, when you're a sailor, you navigate with those. And now they don't have any way of knowing where they are. And they're in the dark. And they're out of control. And the wind is blowing them. And it keeps going and going and going. And again, you just keep coming back and saying, why didn't we listen? I'm encouraging you. If God's telling you to do something, do it. If God's not telling you to do something, then wait till he does. And if God tells you not to do something, don't do it. And if you're not sure, I've learned this the hard way, and now I think the easy way as my life went on. If you don't know what to do, then wait on God until he says what to do. Amen? And do not take things in your own hands. So now it's dark. Things are out of control. They're giving up the ship, basically, in verse 19. And no small tempest lay on us. Things aren't getting any better. The wind is blowing hard. Look at this. This is all verse 20. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You ever met anybody like that? I hate to even mention this, but I'll just tell you this, that when people take their life, when they take their own life, it's because they've lost all hope. And they just don't see any possibility that they're ever going to be happy again, that they're ever going to be free of whatever trial they're in. Oh, folks, if you don't think your life is worth something to you, let God have it. He can do something with it. Sadly, by the time folks come to that place, they've lost sight of God and they don't think about things that way. And it's horrible to think of someone waking up in eternity realizing what they've done when they could have let the Lord change things. But anyway, they've all hope is taken away. It just gets darker and harder and worse. And now in verse 21, this is kind of fun. After long abstinence, Paul, stop right there. So he's been watching all this. Isn't it good when you know you're in God's will? And you know, when you're in God's will, he told, remember, Paul knows, he's been promised, he's going to see Rome. We might frustrate people sometimes when they think you ought to be worried and you're not. And they think all hope is lost and it's not. Because folks, as long as we have the God of Jacob for our help, we've got hope. Paul has been watching all this, and I don't think Paul was a proud man that would say, oh, I can't wait to tell these guys what fools they are. I think he's looking for an opportunity to be a good testimony and to say something to them that will help them. And, you know, sometimes you can't help people until they come ask for help. And things have kept getting worse and worse. And Paul's been watching, but now in verse 21, after long abstinence, he's been waiting back there for a while. After long abstinence, he stood forth in the midst of them and he said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. But listen to this. This is exciting. In verse 22, but now, he says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. What? It's dark. We've thrown the tackling out. The wind is driving us. Oh, by the way, if you don't understand, all it takes is one bunch of rocks in the wrong place, and the ship hits those rocks and breaks apart, and everyone's going to drown. Most of the shipwrecks, the loss of life is not because the ship sank, but because of the storms and the things happened that happened after that. There was a German submarine in World War II that shot a torpedo into an ocean liner, and it sank, and hundreds of people were on the ocean liner, 800, I think, and they thought it was being used, and it was being used to transport war materials, and the submarine called back to Germany and said, hey, what are we going to do? We just sank an ocean liner, and Germany said, well, go pick up some of the people on it so that we can find out that there was war material, and we can have some prisoners to interrogate and see what was going on. So the submarine turns around, went back to the site of the sinking, and when they got there, a storm had come up. And every one of those people except for one person drowned. And that, because of the water and the waves and of course, if you're on the rocks, you're getting beat against the rocks. And these people realize death is a real probability here. And Paul says, be of good cheer. I got good news for you. If you'll turn to the Lord, he can take care of you. That doesn't mean you're not going to lose the ship. That doesn't mean you're not going to get wet. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have listened earlier. But it does mean there's still some hope. And we go to folks and we tell them if they've wrecked their life, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a good wrecker, isn't he? He can take things and make them worthwhile. Yeah, be of good cheer. And he says in verse 22, 4, there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Well, you say, well, how do you know that? Look at verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Oh, you might want to circle that verse. Can you say that? I belong to God and I serve him. I hope we can say that. We might need to remind ourselves. I might need to remind myself. Pastor Schaefer, remind yourself, you belong to God, and your life is about serving him. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. That's pretty good, because when you belong to God and when you're serving him, he takes good care of you. And he sent that angel, and that angel speaks to Paul, and he says in verse 24, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Oh, we could talk about that for a while too. Wherefore, sirs, he says, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Ha ha! Isn't that great? You believe God? Some folks that you tell that may not believe God. That's okay. Keep on believing God. Some folks that you mention that to might disagree with you. Well, maybe you can show them in your life how it's good to believe God. And how when you believe God, he takes good care of you and the things faith can do. He says, I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Can you probably with me easily say, I believe God, it shall be even as this Bible says it will. That's pretty good. So wherefore, sirs, he says in verse 26, howbeit, but, he says, we must be cast upon a certain island. In other words, there are consequences for your decisions. There is hope. That doesn't mean there won't be any loss or any suffering, because you should have listened. And when you ignored the counsel of God from the man of God, you got yourself in some hurt. That doesn't mean your life is going to end, but it's going to cost you something. You should have listened. So, in the 14th night was come, in verse 27, they were driven up and down in Adria, and about midnight, that's the darkest hour of the night, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. They had an idea that they're getting close to land, and so someone just said, hey, let's find out, and they sounded. In other words, they have a rope, and it's got a weight on the end. They drop that thing down, and they see how deep the water is. And, of course, as you get closer to land, the water gets more shallow. And so they sounded in verse 28, and they found it 20 fathoms, maybe 120 feet, something like that. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again. They found it 15 fathoms, 90 feet. They're getting close to land. Now watch out. You got to do it God's way, and this is what the way it ends. So now they get afraid, lest they should fall upon rocks. And so they cast out four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And oh, by the way, folks, don't wish, pray. Amen? They're doing everything they can. In verse 30, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, which when they had let down the boat into the sea, so they apparently had a little boat with them, and they're going to get in that boat and take off. And they did it under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, so they're trying to hide their real intention. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat. And we're going to finish this next week. I knew I wouldn't have time tonight. There's two parts to this story. There's how they got into it and how they get out of it. They're both rather exciting. But folks, if you'll listen to God, you won't get into it. Amen? If you do it God's way, you can avoid a lot of that. Long time ago, way long time ago, took a class in counseling. And I remember the fellow that taught it. He said, we just want to start this with something that's really the very simple thought. And that is, if there's a problem in someone's life, somewhere along the way, you will find it. Trace it back, you'll find sin. Sin causes problems. Sin causes shipwrecks. Sin causes life wrecks. Sin causes suffering. The wages of sin is death. When you counsel people, don't tell them everything's okay. Tell them this. We need to find out what's wrong and fix it. The sin is the problem. And you're not going to tell them that, but you go looking for that. What's the sin? Is it a pride sin? Is it an immorality sin? Is it something else? It's going to cost them something, but God's going to spare their lives because he said he would. And I would just remind you, in your life, the best thing to do is listen and don't get in trouble. Amen? Here we go. We live in a safety-conscious world, don't we? We have seat belts, we have airbags, we have crash test dummies, safety helmets, safety harnesses, safety vests, safety briefing, safety rules, safety records. We're very aware of danger. Why then are some Christians so careless in their spiritual safety? They're unfaithful to church. They don't read God's word. They don't pray. They dabble and toy with sin. They hope nothing bad will happen. They ignore the warnings in the Bible and they do as they please. And what they need to remember is there's a real danger out there. Take that danger seriously. You have an adversary, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he may devour you if you're not careful. So, oh, it's going to be okay. That's what these guys said. It's not comfortable here. Let's go ahead and take a chance. Folks, don't take spiritual chances. Amen? Stay close to the Lord. That's where it's safe. Put righteousness and godliness at the top of your priority list, not down at the bottom somewhere. Don't wander astray from church. There's danger when you're away from God's place and God's people and God's service and God's fellowship. But I have good news for you. When you're in God's will, you're going to be all right. He may take you through, some through the fire, some through the flood. We could close with that if you can find it quick enough. He may take you through some things, but he'll be there with you. And in the end, what you'll see is that the things he took you through them for a purpose. There's really two kinds of people you can think about in regard to this story. There's that kind of person that says, I want to know God's will and I want to be in it day by day. I want to be where he wants me to be. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to be submitted to his will. I'm going to be in church. I'm going to be busy serving God. I'm going to obey the commands in the Bible. I'm going to do what God said. And then there's that other kind of person that says, no, I got a better idea. Let's take a chance. Let's find comfort. Let's go against the grain here and take a chance and go out dangerous. I'm not too worried about what the Bible says. I've got my own plan for my life. Well, folks, I hope that plan does not lead to shipwreck. Amen? I'm probably preaching to the choir tonight, I think. But I can just remind you, the devil's going to try to trick you. He's going to try and deceive you. Don't ever find something that the Bible says and decide to do it the other way. If they'd have listened to Paul, they might not have had the best motel or the finest food or the most entertainment in that little place where they'd have been, but they wouldn't have lost the ship, and they wouldn't have lost the tackling, and they wouldn't have got wet, and they wouldn't have had to face the shipwreck, and they could have continued their journey. It's very, very dangerous to disregard what God has to say to us. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.